Well, good afternoon, brethren.
Good afternoon.
We're all excited to be here today. We'll be even more excited to be there tomorrow. But tomorrow we celebrate the feast of the New Testament Feast of Pentecost. Are you prepared? The reason I say that is because about 2,000 years ago, many came to Jerusalem. I've been talking to several people about how many people came to Jerusalem at that time. And I went online and I found out from people that think they know, the estimates were for God's holy days, the people that would come to Jerusalem were anywhere between 5,000 and 50,000. It depends on, you know, how smart you think you are, you know, and you come up with those numbers. Wait a minute. Even the smallest number, 5,000, that's a lot. It's a lot. We couldn't have them in this room. Couldn't even have them outside the building. 5,000 people would take way too much room. And at first, only 120 of however many thousands were there came away with God's Holy Spirit. Now, I know down the road, I've argued this academically with several people. Academically, we read that later, maybe 3,000 were baptized. I want to ask you a question. If 3,000 were baptized, how many of those 3,000 that were baptized received God's Holy Spirit? You ever know any people that were baptized and down the road? Where are they? They didn't die in the faith. They just walked away. So even though we know that later there were 3,000 people that were baptized, you know, read that, Acts 2. How many of them stuck with it? Okay, let's move right along. In the May-June issue of Beyond Today magazine, there was a great preparation for tomorrow. We all need to reread it. What I mean is reread it more than one time or two times or three times, because we need to think about what the author was actually wanting us to retain from that reading. When I was a teacher, I'd have kids read. As a matter of fact, there's a second or third grader that I'm teaching right now, and he can read. I'd say, "Whoa, nice going, you read that very well." And then I'd say, "Well, what's that mean?" And he'd go, it's not enough to just be able to read. We have to think about what God wants us to retain from what we read, right? Yeah. So, I liked what the author called Pentecost in that article because he called it the Feast of First Fruits. First Fruits. That indicates to me, you know, simple guy that I am, if there are first fruits, there must be second fruits, right? I mean, why would you call it that? Why not just call it the Feast of the Fruits? You know, well, that might not sound right, but if there are first fruits, it indicates to me that there should be second fruits. Okay? Okay. I want to excerpt just a little bit right now from that article. It's well worth a deep reading, but this is a sermonette, and I only have 10 more minutes or six or whatever it is. I'm cut short. So, number one, first point I would like you to consider is that you and I, we have a choice. We always have a choice. God created us to choose. We can either learn, love, and obey God's rules or not. I mean, that's, yeah, you're right. You're driving down the road and light turns red and you can either run through it or you can stop. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about God's rules. We can learn to learn them. We can love them. And we can obey them, or we don't have to. God gives us a choice. We have to choose. Second point, and I'm only making 2 points. The second point is that after we know this, after we know that we have a choice, and we've tried to learn, and we've tried to obey God's rules, and we've miserably failed, then we need to ask ourselves, why can't I simply do what God's word says to do? What's the matter with me? How come I can't do it? I read it in the book. It says what to do. I'm intelligent enough to understand, but I don't seem to be able to do it. And the short answer is because it takes practice to become perfect. And one more thing. What is that one more thing? It's the holy day that we're going to celebrate tomorrow. If you don't have God's Holy Spirit, if you don't have God's Holy Spirit motivating you, it doesn't matter what you know. It doesn't matter what you read. It doesn't matter how intelligent you are. But without God's Holy Spirit, you are going to fall flat on your face. God knew this. God, both Father and Son, they set up a system and they knew that humans would fail, or at least they had the possibility of failing, go all the way back to Adam and Eve. And, you know, it wasn't cut out for them to fail, but God, both Father and Son, knew that they could fail. But they don't want us, you and I, they don't want us to flail around and fail forever. That's not their point. They want us to live forever, and they want us to live forever with enthusiasm, participating in whatever they have for us to do forever. You know, I'm not qualified to know what that is, but I know that if I'm going to live forever, there's going to be a lot of stuff to do. Now, take a sermon or five to explain the whole system that the two God beings created. And I can't do that because I only have 5 or 6 more minutes. So I want to cut to the heart of this message. The Old Testament, think about that. Feast of First Fruits was a preparation. The Old Testament, Leviticus 23, Feast of First Fruits, was a preparation for what we, all of us, will celebrate tomorrow. You can read and study about that past and even the present in our UCG booklets. We have a Bible study, some of us, that we do every Thursday. We just read out of the booklet, you know, and we discuss it with each other. The Israelites were not blessed with that aid. You know? They didn't have UCG booklets. They had Levites. Levites would tell them what to do. I want this big beast. I want him to be slaughtered. And, you know, we're going to burn him. And it's going to make you feel good. Especially when you eat a big giant chunk of the meat afterwards, you know. But those old ways of doing it are not what we do today, is it? I mean, maybe you're going to go out to dinner tonight, I am, and we're going to have something to eat, and it's going to be delicious, but it's not sacrificial meat done by the Levites. So let me finish by going back to the article I referred to at the beginning. All the world's guilty of sin. The way that sin is forgiven is by death. Sin is not easy to be forgiven. The way sin is forgiven is by death. And as you and I feel that statement, I hope you did. I hope you felt that. You mean, I hope you felt that. You mean I got to die because of my sins? That's right. It's absolutely right. But somebody else took your place, my place, for us. But if you don't know that sin causes death, you're missing a very basic point. Jesus Christ, he died once for you and me. And not only for you and me, but for every human that ever exists. And here's the kicker. Most Christians, they know this. You know, if you talk to anybody that's a, you know, Christian, they'll say, yeah, Christ died for my sins. Yeah, I know that. But they do not do very much about it because, you know what they'll say? Oh, I'm just human. What can I do? I'm just human. And I don't want to blame them for that because guess what? You and I, we're human too. We are mostly human. So what is the New Testament solution that the Father and the Son cooked up well before creation? Well, we celebrate it tomorrow. It's not the Old Testament Feast of Weeks, although we do count, you know, 5 weeks, but it's the New Testament Feast of Spirit-filled, overflowing with God's power, Pentecost. God is consistent. They knew that humans will not avoid sin because humans can't avoid sin on their own. They can't do it on their own. So they invented, I guess is a good word, but they came up with this idea talking to each other. How are we going to help these helpless creatures overcome sin? And the only way they can do it is through God's Holy Spirit. That's what we celebrate tomorrow. Only God can defeat sin. God knew this. But the Old Testament rituals, they were a type of, I call it a placeholder until the reality came along in the bodily form of Jesus Christ. And he fulfilled each and every one of the Old Testament foreshadowing rituals. Jesus did it. And he didn't do it just as a show. He did it because they were meaningful. Brethren, it's so easy for us to read about this. And because it's so easy for us to read, we sometimes forget that the real agony and death that our older brother went through so that we can receive God's Holy Spirit and with it actually do things later that count. The last thing I want to say before I sit down is the gift of God's Holy Spirit, which we received when we were baptized properly, was the same gift that about 120 at first received on that first New Testament Pentecost. We know later on, like I said, Peter said somebody baptized 3,000 more. That was a lot of people to do it. Maybe the 120 helped them. But 120 out of the thousands who came to Jerusalem for that Feast of God, 120 is a small, very small number, very small percentage, like tomorrow at our gathering. Remember how very special God both Father and Son, see our small group. We are among God's very special first fruits.